Today on Real Life Radio.
God has made you who you are, and you can influence and you will influence other people if you realize it or not. But be very careful who you pick as friends, because what they do, you will either get blamed for it or you will carry on with it and actually do it. The Bible warns about this.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Life and Bible with a message titled Being a Christian While Being a Kid. Now, we're all children of our parents, and as Christians, we're all God's kids. You see, what we experience as a child shapes us who we are as an adult. A lot of us had a childhood that might not have been so great, but still, we have a choice on how the past is going to impact our future. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that being a Christian while being a kid is believing in the Bible even when our culture says it's like living back in the Stone Ages. The Bible holds the answers to everything in life, no matter what day or age in which we live. Now, with his message called Being a Christian While Being a Kid, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Kids, remember this. Remember the status, the peer pressure, your body, the zits, the friends, the looks, the clothes. The pressure to fit in is huge. So check this out. Number one, you will never fit in. I want to be the first one to tell you. I know you've thought it, but you need to hear this. You will never fit in with your friends fully because your friends don't fit in. The world that's trying to conform you to march like they march, you will never be accepted in that world. You'll never fit in. And tonight you can be here and not be a Christian. This still applies to you. Every young person desires to fit in. By the way, adults do it too when they haven't found themselves in Christ yet. Adults do that too. They just learn how to disguise it better. But young people, listen, you'll never fit in to what your friends want you to be because your friends have not fit in yet either. They can't fit in because the target is always moving about what's cool. In fact, you know what's cool about being older? I have watched bell bottoms be no such thing. Then they come into being, and then they go away, and then they come back, and then they go in, they come back. And then, listen, I remember watching my sister come home wearing tie-dyed outfits, right? Remember those days? No, we don't want to remember those days. And then you see that again. And didn't Solomon say there's nothing new under the sun? It's amazing. Things just come and go, fashions, just hang on to your clothes. They'll come back around. They'll be back in. Just wait. It's absolutely amazing. Well, Pastor, I need to fit in because my friends don't think I'm cool. Guess what? They're going through the same fears you're going through because the target's constantly moving. Madison Avenue sees to it that it's constantly moving. And just when you think you fit in and you're cool, how long does it last? About a week. And then the target moves. Somebody else is cool. Why? Because nobody fits in. The only way that you can fit in is find out that who you are in Jesus. That's the only way you're going to fit in. Here's the cool thing. The way that you fit in is when you don't care that you fit in. Jack, that's called a nerd, and I'm not going to be like that. No. I'm not talking about nerd or not nerd. I'm talking about realizing, you know what? Young people, listen, I'm telling you. The people at your school, the way they walk around, the way they portray themselves, he's cool. You know what? You don't know nothing about him. I'm telling you. He's dying on the inside. She is so cool. No, she's not. You don't know what's going on. And they're looking at people saying, he and she is so cool. The target's constantly moving. Know who you are in Jesus. Have that walk, relationship. Invest in it. You'll never regret it, ever. Number six is this, what my friends are doing. Very few people on this planet will have friends that remain less still even for a lifetime. Friends. Friendships are amazing things, but listen, here's the deal. Friendships will radically influence us. So listen, young people, make sure This sounds so parental, what I'm saying. Make sure you carefully pick your friends. Here's the reason why. You will adopt what your friends are doing, even if you don't agree with what your friends are doing. You will be forced by pressure to go along with them. So be very careful. And then understand this. Be careful who you pick as friends. Watch them. Be careful. Guard your loyalties and trust. Don't give them away so easy. But check this out too. As much as they are influencing you, you will influence others. It's absolutely equal. It may express itself differently. One, maybe you're very, very verbose or outgoing, and everybody, you know, who's like that gets attention. Don't think that that person has the corner market on influencing others. God has made you who you are, and you can influence, and you will influence other people if you realize it or not. But be very careful who you pick as friends, because what they do, you will either get blamed for it, or you will carry on with it and actually do it. The Bible warns about this. All you have to do is be in the vicinity, and you'll be blamed for it as well. Very, very careful. What are your friends doing? How do your friends affect your life? Proverbs 1:10. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says, "My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them." Now listen, this next verse sounds like it's from LA or something. "They may say, come and join us. Let us hide and kill someone. Let's ambush the innocent." Sounds like South Central to me. The Bible says, don't go with them. Get out of there, man. Your friends will affect you. Proverbs 17:9 says, "Disregarding another person's faults preserves love. Telling about them, tattling, gossiping about them separates the closest of friends." Be careful. Number 7, I like this. Being a counterculture kid. I just like that. Counterculture kid. Sounds like a movie. What is a counterculture kid? It's this. In fact, I wrote it down. I put this in my notes tonight because I heard this. I heard on KFI tonight, KFI radio. It was one of those mouths behind the microphone was shooting off something. And the guy said, and I wrote it down, he said, "If you believe in the Bible, you need to go back to the Stone Age. If you believe in the Bible, you need to go back to the Stone Age." Wow. Tell that to Bernoulli, Michelangelo. Tell that to Da Vinci and Newton. Go back to the Stone Age if you believe in the Bible. I had to laugh. That was classic. And then I listened to what the guy believes in, what he was talking about. I had to turn the guy off. Amazing. What am I bringing that up for? Because the culture's Christless. Listen, you guys, do you understand that we are racing toward being a minority like never before in American history? You guys, it's Newsweek magazine. I should have brought it tonight. It's sitting on my table at home. Maybe you remember, it's a red cover, and it's written with words that form a black cross, and it says, "The end of Christian America." Yeah, that's right. You guys are all a bunch of nutcases because you believe in the Bible. You believe in God. You guys need to be monitored because you guys believe in talking to God through prayer. Cuckoo. The world does what it does. It's absolutely insane, but it turns around to you and you're a threat. You're an independent thinker. You believe that God is your authority. You're dangerous. You're an enemy of the state. Because you can't be controlled. That sounds just like China today. That's just how Russia now is starting to make its way back to thinking. That sounds like Cuba today. Amazing. We live in a radical time. Kids can be counterculture people today. I think that's the only hope for America is the young people. Oh, I wrote some things down about being counterculture. See, Pastor, that sounds awful radical. You want to talk about radical? It was Christianity that said the world was round when everybody else was saying it was flat. That's counterculture. It was Christianity that said life is in the blood when everyone else said life is in the air. Did you know that? In the Dark Ages, it was the Christians saying the Bible says the life is in the blood. And physicians in the Dark Ages believed that life was in the air. Guess what we found out? life is in the blood. By the way, it was Christianity that said that the sea and the wind and its currents worked together to form weather when the world couldn't figure it out at all. Think about it. When the pagan world and the cult world talked about the world riding on the back of a giant tortoise, it was the Christian that said, no, you know what? The Bible says here in the Old Testament that he hung the earth on nothing. Invisibleness. How cool is that? I don't know. I think that's cool. I love that stuff. To be a counterculture kid, ask questions. Kids, you want to upset your teachers? Not your Christian teachers. Because you can't upset them. They're walking in the spirit. They're filled with joy and they're amazing. But kids, when you go back to school, here's what I want you to do. And this is how I got in a lot of trouble. And I wasn't even a Christian then. Okay? Ask questions. A lot of questions. All the time. About everything. Always, when a teacher says something, say, excuse me, why? You wanna be counterculture? When the teacher starts talking about evolution, say, can you explain that more, please? For example, can you tell me about fossils, transitional form fossils? A lizard with stubs and nubs? A lizard with bigger nubs and stubs? A lizard with big nubs and stubs? A lizard with big nubs and stubs and little feathers? A lizard with big nubs and stubs and bigger feathers? Can you show me a fossil with a lizard with big stubs and feathers and it could fly? And you ask that of a teacher, you'll see Sunday night with Ben Stein. You'll be expelled. Ask, ask, ask. Remember I said this a couple weeks ago. It was John Adams that said, facts are stubborn things. Don't stop asking until you get the facts. You'll be counterculture. And it's fun to be counterculture. You get your name in the newspaper someday. You've got to be counterculture because it causes the world to think and get down to the fact and get down to the matter. I believe that that's part of what Jesus said in Matthew 5:13 when he says, you are the salt of the earth. In verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. You can't put a kid away who says, excuse me, can someone explain to me how that came into being? Excuse me, but how does that logic and sociology and reason make this? How does that benefit the community? Ask, kids, ask, ask.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Number 8, overcoming your worries as a young kid. How can we cover some of these things? It's almost impossible. There's just too many. Unless the word of God is all powerful, and it is. We're almost done. Here we go. Matthew 6:31. Jesus says, therefore, don't worry. See, it's easy for you to say. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. For after all these things do the Gentiles, the unbelievers, seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of, all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Is that in the Bible or not? Do we believe it or not? We've got to choose to believe it. The concerns of being a young kid, what is troubling you? Give it to God. Pray about it. Give it to him. Tell him, Lord, this is scaring me. Lord, this is bothering me. This is worrying me. By the way, when you begin to do that, you begin to go on the advance. You begin to go on the attack, so to speak. Meaning this, when the Bible says in Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4, my child, never forget these things that I have taught you. Store my commandments in your heart. Listen to this. They will give you a long and satisfying life. That's an awesome verse. Man, you know what, you young people? Proverbs 3, 2, you should memorize that. That God's word will give you a long and satisfying life. Never let loyalty and kindness get away from you. Wear them like a necklace. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will gain a good reputation. You can go on the offensive with that. You can go on the advance. You can take your worries, give them to God, and get them conquered. And I mean that sincerely. I'm telling you right now. Math, sports, projects, challenges, issues, fears. Lord, I'm giving this to you. I need you to help me conquer these things. You can sign up for motivation seminars. Forget it. You can read self-help books. Forget it. write this stuff out, stand before God and say, Lord, I'm applying your word to this. I'm terrified of math, or that guy at school, or that teacher scares me. Lord, I give you Mr. Gorilla, my teacher. Please help me, God. You can do that. Oh, man, I'm telling you. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, you must do it all to the glory of God. Isn't that awesome? Take that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31, and make it your life. Daniel 11:32 says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Number 9, find your place in life. This worldly system, my friends out there, will tell you what you want to hear, but they can't produce it. The world will trick you. It will always attempt to trick you. Satan, that's his playground. In fact, in Matthew 4, I won't read it all, but you can mark it down to Matthew chapter 4, 9 and 10. Satan came to Jesus and said, just bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Satan's still doing that. Getting this world, having it, shouldn't be your goal. Knowing God is. Now, young people and mom and dads, listen carefully to this. This is going to sound like an absolute heresy or something. What's more important to you? That your kid grew up to be a doctor, or that your kid grew up to be a true, real, blue, dyed-in-the-wool Christian? Is it more important for you for your kid to be an engineer or to be a Christian? To be a school teacher or a Christian? To be a landscaper or a Christian? Listen, well, man, you know what? I'm going to send my kid to Harvard because he's going to go do Harvard Law. Hey, fantastic. How's his faith first before you send him to godless Harvard? Is he going to survive? What do I care? As long as he's making $400,000 or $500,000 a year? Jesus says, what shall it profit a kid if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? How many kids go through that system to fulfill mom and dad's dream? And how many parents, meaning well perhaps, prostitute our kids into a godless system that has no value of Christianity and in fact is devoted to destroying their faith? When's the last time you walked onto a college campus and somehow let people know you're a Christian? You'll be eaten alive. You will be laughed at and mocked. Mention anything else and you'll be hoorayed. No, you know what? I'm all for doctors. I need them. I'm all for engineers. We love what they do. We love landscapers and we want teachers. But you're a Christian first. You should be a Christian first. George Washington was a Christian before he was a general. He was a Christian before he was a president. Lincoln was a Christian before he was the postmaster general. He was a Christian before he was a senator. He was a Christian before he was a president. Think of that. And then number 10, we'll end with this. Deciding who you're going to be. Being a Christian and a kid in this life, you can decide. You still have time to decide who you're going to be. And by the way, let me add this. Deciding who you're going to be, if you do become an engineer, that's not who you are. Oh my, some of us old people, we need to hear this too. When somebody says, well, who are you? Some people, and I hear this, I talk to people all the time. Well, tell me a little bit about you. Who are you? I work for, I didn't ask you who you worked for. I asked you, who are you? People get lost in their doing rather than who they are. You know what happens when that's gotten a hold of your life? You have no life. You have to be at the office 7 days a week. You can't have fun doing anything else. You have no life. You are taking a position and making it your life. The truth is, you are a Christian human being, a person. And how you make money to put food on the table is you are a landscaper. That's what you do. That's not what you are. You're a Christian. You are created in the image of God. The greatest pursuit in deciding what you're going to do with your life is to know God. It's the greatest pursuit. Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether that he does is pure or right. You're always going to be making decisions, my friends, in life. Always. Just make the right decisions, because those decisions place you in the path of life and in the direction that you're going. I have these two closing verses. They're long ones, but we'll end with this. Decide who you're going to be. Mark it down. Ephesians, it starts in Ephesians 3:17. It will end in Jeremiah 29:11. Ephesians 3:17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Wow, listen, that's an awesome verse. Those are great verses. Listen, as we close right now, I'm going to ask young people to stand. We're going to pray for you. So young people, what is a young person today? If you're young, if you're 20 and under, stand up. If you're 20 or under, just stand up and remain standing. Just remain standing. We're going to pray for you. Let's pray for them right now. Father, for these that are standing, this is the future. Should you tarry in your return, this is tomorrow. And Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you'd put your spirit upon them. And Lord God, that you'd anoint them to be radicalized Christians. That would mean that they are lovers of life, lovers of God, lovers of one another, and Lord, that they would pursue those things that bring you honor and glory. And Father, we pray that you would cause them tonight, without any coercion, without any pressure, you know the hearts that they have and the minds that they have within them right here, right now. And Father, we pray that you would be moving in the midst of these people and that they would be saying to you right now, Lord, make me radical for you. Make me dynamic for you. Lord, make me a believer that is completely sold out, galvanized for God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, energized in the Word. Lord God, I pray that you give me strength against sin, change those things in my life that keeps pulling me down. And Lord, I pray right now that my life would be a life lived to the fullness to your glory. Father, we pray for these young ones right now. And Father, we pray that they would be all God that you've created them to be. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Being a Christian While Being a Kid. Thanks for spending part of your day with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a series on how to apply God's Word to the everyday challenges of the Christian life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Recently, I figured out that you and I share a favorite holiday. Mm. It's not Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's not Easter. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. Why do you like it so much?
First of all, as an American, Thanksgiving is the one and only official holy day of our country.
I didn't know that.
There's no other. Mm-hmm. Huh. It's the one and only holy day based on the remarkable and awesome week-long celebration of our pilgrim fathers with the native Indians of Massachusetts. It's very precious. I've read so much about it over the course of my life. And if you haven't, my friends, you ought to read about the first Thanksgiving. It's just incredible. But having said that, it's a day that should remind us that every day for the believer should be a day of Thanksgiving. Yeah. We are commanded
to be thankful. And you can't make someone thankful, but when the Bible says, you know, be ye thankful, or in all things give thanks, or we are to exercise or to show God a gratitude and thankfulness, it nurtures a very, very humble heart and a very thankful heart and appreciative. And you know, that's something that you can't make your kids appreciate anything, right? They have to choose to appreciate things. And so Thanksgiving is an extremely spiritual holiday. I'm not saying that Resurrection Sunday is not. Of course not. Yeah. Christmas Day set aside to acknowledge his advent into the world. Of course I'm not putting that down. 4th of July, again, as an American, tremendous. But Thanksgiving is the only American holy day that has been established by our Pilgrim Fathers.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.